podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to AI Scouted on Anfield Index Pro. I'm Dave Hendrick, joined as always by Mr. Carl Matchett. How are you, sir?
I am still sub-pleased. What about yourself?
Furious, to be totally honest with you. I had a bad few days. I lost my glasses yesterday. And then we had that thing last night. And I just get more and more annoyed the more I think about it. And then I see more and more stats coming out about the game and what certain players did in the game and across the two legs. And I get more and more annoyed. So what better thing to do then today, before we get into Liverpool versus Fulham this Sunday, than to recap this week's European competition. And it seems like the best place to start with that, Carl, is the Champions League, which took place obviously Tuesday and Wednesday. So let's start on Tuesday when Borussia Dortmund beat Atletico Madrid 4-2 to advance to the semi-final. There they will take on Paris Saint-Germain, who went to the Nou Camp, were, I thought, on their way out of the competition before the Araujo red card, but end up winning the game 4-1 to advance 6-4 on aggregate and set up Borussia Dortmund versus Paris Saint-Germain as one of our Champions League semi-finals. So go either way. Which game, talk about both. Which team impressed you the most out of those two games?
Impressed me. Dortmund probably impressed me the most, but I actually had quite a significant amount of derision for all four teams involved on that particular pairing of games, to be perfectly honest with you. Might as well talk about Dortmund first. Obviously, a really, really good start for them. They should have been a goal up inside about 3 minutes. Sabitzer had an unbelievable chance, running basically in on goal, perfect layback to him, but being so, so careful about it, actually took far longer than he needed to. Took an extra touch he didn't need it to, and then he was closed out before he could basically put it into an open net. Then Morata basically had a similarly golden opportunity, missed that as well. Looked like it was going to be quite madness from the outset, and so it proved. I think both the goals came through basically an avenue that they had real success in all day long, down that their left channel, Atletico's right channel. Probably not a great surprise to you that Axel Witsel is that side and he got skinned multiple times in that opening spell of the match. I think Dortmund looked really good, but then if you're two goals to the good in a Champions League tie, we've seen year after year the very, very best teams just absolutely lock a tie down at that point. And Dortmund didn't manage to do it, Atletico didn't manage to do it, Barca didn't manage to do it, and PSG didn't manage to do it. And I think just the wild lack of control that any of those teams had at any point in these matches is the biggest surprise to me, but also is kind of an indictment of where they all are right at this moment in time. I think probably easiest just to flip backwards and forwards between the two matches at this point. Like, I thought PSG were quite poor in the opening spell against Barcelona in the second leg, but I thought Barcelona had set themselves up quite well. And then when the red card happens, I don't think, even against a really good side, I don't agree that a red card, losing one man, should make you collapse to such an extent. And we've seen it a few times with a few different teams. I think this season, probably Man United have been the worst that I've seen at it when they got one player sent off much earlier in the season in Europe. But here, Barca were like like as if they'd had three sent off. Like they had no ground covered at all. There was a real lack of energy about them from that point onwards. And like PSG are a good side and obviously have some really good players, but should you really be conceding four against them just because you've got one player less for like an hour? I'm not really sure that that's warranted.
No, neither am I. I thought, like you, Barca looked really well set up with their full complement. And when Areo went off, I just thought defensively they looked incredibly naive. There was no organization back there, no leadership. I thought the midfield got exposed then because when they took off Lamine Yamal, obviously, to bring on a defender, it just meant that the PSG fullbacks were able to commit a bit more to going forward, Hakimi and Mendes. And the slow-footed nature of Pedri, Ilkay Gundogan and Frenkie de Jong, that it kind of just invited more and more pressure. No real defensive presence in there. Like, Frenkie has obviously played as a six before. He's not a six, he's an eight. He's got okay defensive attributes, but he's not a defensive-minded player. Gundogan can do that role. It's just not something. It's like when we put Alexis there. Like, there's good aspects to it, but there's bad aspects to it as well, and the lack of foot speed can be exposed. And it just seemed like they were happy to invite pressure and not be able to repel it properly. I was disappointed in Barca, totally like you were. I just thought that it was almost cowardly. Like when they went behind in the game to Vitinha's goal, it was almost like they didn't realize the tie is still in the balance here. It's 4-4. We don't need to throw numbers forward. We just need to be compact here. And if we get a counter-attacking opportunity, then we take it, but we don't overcommit bodies forward. And they just started hurling men forward at them. It was very, very poor.
It was very poor. Even that, though, doesn't lay a candle to how poor Cancelo's timing and decision-making was in going in for that challenge. Like you say, it was level pegging at that point, and he throws himself in for that tackle in the penalty box, never anywhere near the ball. I still don't get this, where players have the temerity to complain and say, no, I got the ball, it wasn't a penalty, when we can see that it wasn't, and the ref gets to see again that it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's just stupidity. Like,
it's incredibly dumb.
It like, is.
Whatever about pre-VAR, absolutely, absolutely. Make all the complaints you want. But when there is a function there, do you know what? I think if I'd almost like to see a situation where you can bring in a challenge, you're allowed one a game where a decision goes against you, and a player can say to the referee, once a game, go and rewatch it. But if the referee goes and rewatches it and the initial decision was right, that player is automatically booked. And if they've been previously booked, they're off. And it would stop this type of nonsense. Cancelo, it's such a poor challenge. I don't understand what he was even considering there. Like, I know Dembele had scored in the game. And I know he scored in the first game. But he's been garbage most of the season. You don't need to jump in there. He's probably not making anything happen in that situation. Just jockey him. Push him back out towards the corner flag. He's going nowhere. And you kick right through his foot. It's the most blatant penalty you'll see. And you knew Mbappe was scoring. You just knew he was scoring from the spot.
What did you think of his performances over the two legs?
I was a little underwhelmed. I thought the first leg... Look, I'm not a Luis Enrique fan as a manager. Loved him as a player. I don't think he's a good manager. I think his tactical setup is poor. I think his build-up play is poor. I thought in the first leg, he left Mbappe isolated on an island. The second leg, they got him a bit more involved, but I never like him as the nine. Like, I want to see him playing all for nine. I think that's where he's at his best. That's my concern about him going to Real, is that he's going to be the nine. I think he's much better off an Olivier Giroud, for example, off a Kola Muani, off a Gincala Ramos. And even if they're not individually playing well, I do think it accentuates and amplifies his threat. But you have to have him constantly involved, and you have to have an overlapper for him if you're playing left side. Like, that was what I couldn't understand in the first leg, was that the way PSG set up would have been ideal if Nuno Mendes was given license to bomb forward and overlap Mbappe and get 2v1 situations and just create him that little half yard of space by making the fullback hesitate. Well, do I carry the runner or do I stick with Mbappe? And they never did that. And I just think tactically he's being let down by a manager who's at best mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, I think the second leg midfield was set up better. I thought the first leg sort of drifting in between Diamond and four across, it was quite interesting and maybe might have worked another day. But like you say, it didn't really allow for too much in the actual final third. I thought Asensio's selectional performance, whichever one you want,
bizarre.
It just wasn't helpful at all, considering who else was available. I don't get why Bradley Barcola is not like one of the first names on this team sheet. I just think he's so good. I think he's an exceptional player. But aside from that, he has the physical attributes that they need in this team. Like, it just doesn't make any sense having the others in instead of him. But like, across the board, I think PSG were better to go through just by way of having more attacking threat or armory, or just bludgeoning more in attack, if you like. But I don't think that they were very impressive. I don't think that if either of these two had come up against, let's say, either of Real or Man City in the side of the draw, then I don't think either of them would be going through.
No.
Obviously, as it's worked out, they've all got themselves a lovely opportunity to get to the final. So Dortmund, I mean, best thing about them, you can probably say, is mental resolve, not to have collapsed after going ahead and then going behind. But again, the defensive work for the two goals they conceded either side just after half time was like properly shocking. Like, you could probably pick about 3-4 players there in that sort of square around the penalty box, which were particularly not good. I know your best mate, Mats Hummels, is going to be one of them, but he absolutely wasn't the only one.
No, he wasn't at all. He was so unfortunate with the first one, because he'd actually played quite well in the game up until that own goal.
Yeah.
But I look at that Dortmund team, and like, I like a lot of the individual pieces. I really like Kobel. I think he's a very good goalkeeper. I like Ryerson, but he's a wing back, not a full back. I really like Ian Mattson. And if we are getting Ruben Amorim this summer, if he's the one that lands, Ian Mattson will be high on my list to play the left wing back role under him. I think he's exceptionally good going forward. Defensively, he does have some issues. I like Schlotterbeck. Again, I think he's more suited to a back three than a back four, particularly when you're going to pair him with a Mats Hummels, who's well past his best. Could still do a job in the middle of a back three, but they don't play a back three. I'm not a big Sabitzer fan anymore. I liked him at Leipzig. I just think he's declined. You know, I love Emre. And I thought Emre did play well in that game. I like Sancho, but he hasn't kicked on from where he was a few years ago. And obviously, he's only there on loan, like Mattson. Brand, it never became the player he should have been. And he scored in this game. But, I mean, you're not winning a European Cup if Julian Brand is your primary creator. And I like Adeyemi, but again, he hasn't really kicked on and developed. Fulkrug is okay, and I like him because he was at Werder, but he's just okay. I do like Sally Oskun on the bench. I like Nemecha, who didn't come on, Duranville. Like, there's a lot of players there I do like. Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye. I just don't think the overall component of the team is as strong as what the individual parts could be. I don't rate the manager very highly. I think he's quite poor tactically. And I think they just got very fortunate that this is an Atleti team that's not having a great season, that has been badly underfunded in recent years. And when you look at that Atleti team, I mean, Axel Witsel, he's well past his best. He's not a centre-back. Jimenez, the injuries have made him a shadow of what he used to be. Hermoso's not great. Koke has declined. Llorente had one great season in his career. Other than that, he's been fairly mediocre. I like Molina. I like Rodrigo De Paul. Aspilicueta playing as a left wing back in big old 2024. I mean, that's just very, very strange. Morata, I've never liked. I've never rated Morata. I understand he does things that are valuable to the team, but when you're playing with this version of Griezmann, you need to be a clinical goal scorer, and he's never been that. I love Griezmann, but again, he's not. He might be a better all round footballer than he used to be, but he's not the goal threat he used to be. And then off the bench, just again, there's some talent there, like some really good players there, but then there's some dross as well, like Gabriel Paulista, Stefan Savage. Like I feel like this club has routinely let Simeone down since that summer when Rodri and Lucas Hernandez were sold and badly replaced. And then obviously Godin and Juan Fran and Felipe Luis all left. And I feel like he's just been handed mediocrity and tried to cobble it together. And I think he's the best manager in the world, but even he's not winning a Champions League with that group.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's adding to everything you've just said about Atletico Madrid. Like, they've been absolutely shocking on the road this season. Like, terrible, terrible, beyond mediocre bad. So as soon as they didn't really secure a decent win, I never really thought that they were going to get the result in Dortmund, to be honest. So it's not a surprise to see them go out at this rough stage.
The thing is, had they gotten through, I would have fancied them to beat PSG. Purely on the basis of, I think Simeone would set his team up to just grind out the result. Not that they're a better team, they certainly don't have as much talent, but I would have liked the matchup in terms of what he does versus what Enrique tries to do. Who will you pick to beat, to win that semi-final then, Dortmund or PSG?
I mean, obviously PSG should because of the funds and the attack. I'm going to go with Dortmund.
Okay. I think I'm leaning the same way, to be honest. In the other semi-final then, we get Bayern versus Real Madrid. Bayern 1-0 winners over Arsenal. Joshua Kimmich goal after somebody just seemed to power off the entire Arsenal defence when that cross came through. I'm not sure what Declan Rice was trying to do. In basketball, that's what you see players do when they box out on a rebound. I'm not sure what he was trying to do with his arms out wide and his arse stuck out. Very, very strange. Arsenal not particularly good in any of their Champions League knockout games. And in the other one, obviously, Manchester City won, Real Madrid won. City had more than enough opportunities to win multiple games, but couldn't find a goal for a long time. Then De Bruyne scores to equalize after Rodri's opener, goes to penalties, and Real held their nerve while Bernardo Silva delighted everybody with one of the worst penalties I've ever seen.
I don't really know what to say about this game. It was a weird tie all around. It was, I don't even know what can you say about Arsenal? We've been over this. And even when we discussed it and we said multiple times, like, until they do it, we're going to keep assuming they're not going to do it. To see them not do it again in the ways that they find is just, it's really weird. I just find it a strange, strange club. More than the fact that they sort of fail to do things that they should, in the way that they have no self-awareness or realization that they're going to, because they're still doing the same things. That's what I find most troubling about this Arsenal team. Like, you can see it coming a mile off. They must also know it's there. And yet, rather than try to do anything about it, they seem to actively shrink away from it.
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
Yeah, and it just feels like there's a real naivety in their game, which I thought Sergio Conceição sort of highlighted in the way he set Porto up. I thought Unai Emery attacked that naivety and the flaws in their setup at the weekend. And then I thought Tuchel did the same thing in both legs, where there's this myth about Arsenal having this incredible centre where you just can't attack them. But what we saw through the games with Porto, Bayern games and the Villa games, was that if you spread Arsenal out and then attack the middle of them with pace and aggression, those defenders get really unnerved. And Declan Rice, a good player, obviously, but a player very drawn to the ball. And when he goes to the ball, he tends to ignore what's behind him. And in the first leg in particular, I think Bayern did a brilliant job of drawing him to the ball, moving the ball around him and then attacking the heart of that defence with pace. Saw the same thing in this game. Saw the same thing in the Villa game. It's weird that more Premier League teams aren't picking up on this. I've said all season, Arsenal last season, I thought were a better team than they are this year. Rice individually, obviously a better player than Xhaka. Not a better sixth than Partey. And I don't think he's been as good this season in either role as Granit Xhaka was. And look at Granit Xhaka this year. He's been exceptional. And he's a player neither of us are big fans of. He's been exceptional for that Leverkusen team. They spend an awful lot of money. And at best, they stood still. At best, they've stood still. Now, look, they might still win the Premier League. There's six games left to go. But does anyone fancy them to run the slate and win all six games when you look at the run that they have? With Spurs away, with United away, they'll both be really tough games. Chelsea home will be tough. Wolves away will be tough. Like, I just don't see them. I think if they get to the same 84 points as they got last year, I actually think that's a pretty good outcome for them from where they are right now. That would be 13 points from the last six games. So four wins and a draw and one defeat. I think if they do that, that's actually a decent end to season for them. I think they'll finish with less. I think they might finish with like 82.
I was going to say, do you think that they will get four wins from the last six that they've got? Wolves away, Chelsea home, Tottenham away, Bournemouth home, United away, Everton home.
No.
Like, I could see them winning all three home games. I think they'll beat Chelsea at home.
But I think that'll be tougher than people make out because...
It will be tough.
Well, Chelsea are not good. They've been really good against the Arsenal-Man City model this year.
I mean, it depends a lot, but if Chelsea beat Man City.
Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bench you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like maybe that focus goes there. I think Arsenal will win that one at home to Chelsea, but to win 2 of those 3 away games against Wolves, Spurs and Man United, I don't think that they,
no.
I don't think they do that.
No. And like, look, that last game of the season, obviously it looks like the easiest of them on paper against Everton, but Everton might very well need something from that game to stay up. So it could get much tougher. We'll wait and see over the next few weeks. If Everton are safe, Arsenal will win 5 or 6-0 because Everton won't turn up. But like even the Bournemouth home game, they should win it, but it is still tricky. Like it's still a tricky game for them. So Bayern against Real is an interesting semi-final in that I don't think anyone expected Real to win the European Cup this year because they've got no striker. Well, unless you want to count Joselu, who's
Joselu wants to count Joselu.
He awful. And then you've got the injury to Courtois, comes back, gets injured again. David Alaba obviously out with an ACL. They've had an exceptionally bad season injury-wise this year. And yet they're walking away with La Liga. And I think as of right now, you'd have to make them strong favourites to beat Bayern. This is the worst Bayern team in over a decade. So it's an interesting game because Tuchel's a really good kind of one-off tactician for one game. There's very few I think you'd want more than him if he had time to plan, to figure out a game plan. And Real, there's a lot of strength to them, but they're not a perfect team as yet. Defensively, there's flaws. Not having a 9 is an issue. But they're so strong with that midfield group. Mm. And obviously, Vinny's playing really well. And Rodrigo has really stepped up for them. Like it's just tough. It's tough to see Bayern beating them, but you wouldn't put it past Bayern. Just because football's weird, and in this season where they've been garbage,
yeah,
it would be kind of fitting if they did get to a European Cup final and potentially even win it.
Would you rather see a Bayern Dortmund, just as a football fan, a Bayern Dortmund final that we've already had, or see Dortmund Real Madrid, who are both attack minded but flawed?
I'd rather see Bayern Dortmund, being honest, because I look at Real Madrid. Endrick is coming this summer. Mbappe is almost certainly coming this summer. Alphonso Davies reportedly going there this summer, and potentially Lenny Yoro as well. And I look at that, added to Jude, Vinny, Rodrigo, Camavinga, Tchouameni, Valverde. And I start to wonder, how many of the next 10 are they going to win? And I think it's probably five or more. So from that regard, I'd rather see someone else win it this year before Real go on another insane run of dominance. But like Bayern versus Dortmund would in no way reflect what the European Cup is meant to be about, which is it's meant to be the best teams in Europe.
Yeah.
Bayern are miles off the top of, like, points-wise, miles off Leverkusen in the Bundesliga. And Dortmund, as things stand, won't even be a Champions League team next season. But I'd rather see that than see Real.
The other alternative, obviously, is Bayern PSG, which we saw in the COVID season. So
Tommy Tuchel revenge tour.
Yeah, a replay of one we've already seen, but in very different circumstances, let's say. I think I would prefer it to be Real Madrid-Dortmund, but I appreciate what you're saying. I kind of feel like if it was Real Madrid-Dortmund, there'd be more chance of Dortmund being a surprise winner, if you like, whereas if it's Bayern-Dortmund, I just feel like Bayern will revert to type as much as they've been off it this season. I think they'll win that.
Yeah, but Real never lose Champions League finals. So they're winning as well.
True.
I think the most likely outcome is Real. I do. I think the most likely outcome is Real. They're just a better team than Bayern. And with the situation in La Liga now, they can kind of focus more on the Champions League and rest. Yeah, so I think Real Dortmund is the final I would pick right now. If PSG had a good manager, I'd be picking PSG to beat Dortmund, but I just don't think they do. And obviously, I think I'd go Real to win that final. But we'll talk more about those semi-finals when we get closer to it. But I think you were both picking Real Dortmund to make the final. Europa League, and we'll go more quickly through these. We obviously lose to Atalanta. Marseille beat Benfica 1-0 last night and then win 4-2 on penalties. So Atalanta-Marseille is the first semi-final. Roma beat Milan 2-1 last night. Mancini and Dybala put them 2-1 up. Sorry, 2-0 up. Then Zeki Celik got sent off. Then they had multiple injuries in the first half, Dybala and Lukaku. Gabia gets one back late for Milan, but Milan were just very disappointing across both legs. So Roma into a semi-final where they will face Bayer Leverkusen, who somehow remain unbeaten. West Ham went 1-0 up through Mikel Antonio and just couldn't find an equaliser and then committed too many men forward. And Leverkusen caught them on the counter. So they go through 3-1. So go start with either semi-final, Marseille, Atalanta. Which team impressed you to get to this point? Or Roma, Leverkusen, which team impressed you? And which way you'd go in those semi-finals?
I'm going for a Leverkusen-Atalanta final. I can't believe that Liverpool passed up the opportunity to play against Marseille in the semis. Marseille have been fairly hopeless over the second half of the season, I think, up until the win there against Benfica last night, as in the 90-minute win. They're on something like five or six straight defeats, something like that, across all competitions. Yeah, pretty poor side, having a pretty poor end to the campaign. So Atalanta, we've spoken about before, not having their greatest season, but if they produce a performance in the semis like they did against Liverpool in the quarters, I don't really see that Marseille have got a hope of stopping them, to be honest. So I definitely think them to go through. And it's obviously very difficult to think anything other than Leverkusen to go the distance. But Roma are maybe one of the most informed sides in Europe since Daniele De Rossi took over. So bit of a different style, really structured setup, which works really well for them off the ball. One or two players just come back from injury as well. Paulo Dybala in brilliant form. That will be a really good semi-final, actually, across the two legs. I'm still going to go Leverkusen to do it because, again, like you said, Real Madrid have more or less got La Liga wrapped up. Leverkusen have got the Bundesliga wrapped up. So if they want to, you know, the game beforehand, rest three or four faces, they can do. So I will go for them, but I think that that will be a cracking semi.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think of all the semi-finals across the three competitions, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. Like you, I'll go Atalanta Leverkusen to make the final. But again, we'll talk about those games more in depth before they come around. Lastly then, Europa Conference League. Aston Villa lose 2-1 away to Lille, but win 4-3 on penalties. And they will take on Olympiacos, who lost 1-0 in Fenerbahce. But then your friend, the what did you once call him? I can't remember. Yeah, you never had anything good to say about him anyway. Missed his penalty in the shootout, and Olympiacos go through 3-2. That's an interesting game, Villa-Olympiacos.
Yeah, relatively so, in as much as, you know, clubs have done well to get to this stage, and my trophy is on the line, but honestly, I really don't care about this competition. Sorry.
Absolutely fine. Fiorentina beat Victoria Plzen 2-0. They go through 2-0 on aggregate. Club Brugge go to PAOK and win 2-0 away from home. PAOK currently top in Greece. That's a really good result for Brugge. Through 3-0 on aggregate. Fiorentina Brugge. Just give me winners. Villa Olympiacos, Fiorentina Brugge.
Fiorentina Villa. Villa need a first leg result though.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.